Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. I'm your host, Mark Daly. Welcome back to the show, and it is Sunday night. And of course, on Sundays, we talk about the race that was, that being the Grand Prix at Imola this past weekend, a shortened two-day version, but it was good. It's also been a very, very busy weekend around here. I hope for all of you out there that were enjoying and celebrating the Halloween holiday on Saturday night, that it was good for you. We actually took part in a drive-through trick-or-treating at the P&E Fairgrounds as the Pacific National Exhibition. I guess you could say it's fairly equivalent to a state fair or something like that. Anyways, it was kind of cool. The decorations and the special effects made it really good, and the kids really enjoyed it. And that includes myself, so I guess we could say kids of all ages. Anyways, we're not here to talk about ghouls and goblins and things that go bump in the night. Perhaps we will at some point in the off-season when there's not much else to do and we sit around a virtual campfire telling stories. But let's wait until the season is well and truly over and we have nothing else to talk about. Anyways, let's get to it and let's talk about what was quite an eventful afternoon at Imola. Let's go down the race classification. Of course, the big news is what with a 1-2 finish for the two Silver Arrows, the Mercedes. That means that the Mercedes-Benz team has locked up the Constructors' Championship for 2020, their seventh in a row, which sets a new record. They were previously tied on six with the Ferrari, who won it a whole bunch of times. Half a dozen times in the late 90s and early 2000s. So there you go. Anyways, Lewis Hamilton won the race on Sunday, followed by Valtteri Bottas. Danny Ricciardo coming home in third for the second time in three races. Danny Kvyat in the AlphaTauri in fourth. No, I did not say that incorrectly. Quite a good finish to the end for Danny Kvyat. A pretty decent race for him today. Charles Leclerc, P5 for Ferrari. Sergio Perez in sixth. Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris. 7th and 8th for McLaren. You had Kimi Raikkonen and Antonio Giovinazzi coming home in 9th and 10th in the two Alfa Romeos. And then you had in 11th, Nick Latifi, Sebastian Vettel in 12th, and then Lance Stroll in 13th. 14th was Romain Grosjean, and the last of the classified cars was Alexander Albon. And we're going to talk a little bit about Alex a little bit later on. There were five cars not classified at the end of the race, including George Russell, who sadly crashed in an embarrassing moment behind the safety car. We'll talk about that as well. Max Verstappen, who had a puncture that threw him out of the race, which was sad. Kevin Magnussen, Esteban Ocon, and Pierre Gasly. So there you go. It was, like I say, it was an interesting race. I quite enjoyed it. Lewis did make some predictions before the race that just the nature of Imola and the fact that it's quite narrow might make for a bit of a boring race. But I think there was still some good overtaking. That notwithstanding, we had a virtual safety car and a real safety car, and I thought it was good value for money. I think that it lived up to expectations, and enjoy it because it might be a very, very long time before we go back. Anyways, let's just quickly look at the Constructors' Championship. Usually I do the drivers first, but first of all, Mercedes, 479 points. Of course, like I said, they've locked up the Constructors' Championship once again, like they've done every year since 2014. Red Bull in second, 226. Renault third with 134 points. Then you have McLaren and Racing Point tied on 134. So 1 point between all three of those teams. So like I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, let's keep an eye on that. So 134 and 135 separating, for three teams. I think that's outstanding. Ferrari 6th, AlphaTauri 7th, 8th is Alfa Romeo, Haas is in 9th, and then you have Williams at the bottom, sadly not to score a point in the World Championship so far this year. On the driver's side, again, it's just a matter of time before Lewis is crowned a world champion for 2020, and he's currently on 282 points, leading his teammate Valtteri Bottas by a country mile. The Finn has 197. Max Verstappen is in third with 162. Then you have Danny Ricciardo, Charles Leclerc, Sergio Perez, Lando Norris, Carlos Sainz, Alex Albon and Pierre Gasly rounding out the top 10. And Albon and Gasly, the two that draw a lot of comparisons, what with the whole switcheroo at Red Bull last year. Gasly, 63 points, currently 10th in the Drivers' Championship. As I said, he's only a point behind Alex Albon, and we'll talk all about that a little bit later on, or at least about Alex Albon. I think we may have seen the moments that may have given him the or Red Bull maybe that little nudge to really make a decision one way or another to, when they decide to whether or not to bring him back next year or not. So like I say, it was a very interesting race. And the big news, of course, is that record-setting win for Mercedes, clinching that seventh Constructors' Championship. It really is outstanding. You know, I never thought that you would see dominance in Formula One like that again. After we saw it nearly 2 decades ago with Ferrari. I mean, what they did with Jean Todt and Ross Brawn and Michael Schumacher really was quite special. So to see that equaled again and surpassed and bettered really is quite amazing. Anyways, Lewis Hamilton had to say after the race, quote, "I look at my crew, this team here, and I all know that these men and women back at the factory, back in Brackley and Brixworth, they are the unsung heroes. They're the ones that have really grafted away and have never given up, just continue to push and elevate and innovate. People watch it and maybe think we're used to this, but it always just feels like the first with this team. And I think that's because of the spirit. So I'm forever, forever grateful to everyone to be a part of it, to be part of breaking a record like this. No team has done this before. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And to come back year on year, and whilst we have a great performance, it is not easy to continue to deliver weekend in, weekend out. 7-time champs, this is something I'm going to be able to tell my grandchildren one day," end quote. Absolutely. You know, as much as I sit here sometimes and criticize and say that that sometimes it gets a little bit boring, I mean, that's purely from my perspective on the sporting aspect of it. I have the utmost respect for what the Mercedes have done, because it is not easy. And just like Lewis says, that they're able to continue to deliver each and every weekend, each and every year, really is something special. I mean, of course, they have a lot of money and resources to put into it, but still, just having a lot of money does not solve everything. You have to spend it properly. You have to know where to invest. You have to get the right people in there. You have to give them the right tools, all these different things, all the infrastructure that has to be in place. And what they have done is absolutely it's awesome. It really, really is. Anyways, we should talk a little bit more about some of the other things that maybe didn't get a lot of news throughout the race today. And one of those was Sergio Perez, who was he was running really well there at the end. I mean, you had that incident with Max Verstappen with what, about 10, 12 laps to go, where he had a puncture, crashed in the gravel in a pretty nasty spot. And it was pretty obvious right away that he would have to, or the safety car would have to be deployed, so the track workers could get that car out of the way and make it safe. You know, it was really unfortunate for Max, because he was really running well. I know that once it was Max and Valtteri Bottas, and Valtteri picking up that damage to the floor of his car in lap two, and Max was there and thereabouts for quite a long time, and they were just a little bit ahead of Lewis Hamilton. But after those two went in for their pit stops, what Lewis did for such a long time to really put in those fast laps, and then and overcut both of those drivers and come out with the gap that he had. And then after that, I mean, he was just he was just gone. I mean, it was really quite impressive. I mean, of course, Bottas was struggling with the issues that he had with the damage to his floor, but still, I mean, Max was going pretty good, and that's pretty much been the story all year, hasn't it? I mean, you've had the Mercedes cars out in front, usually Lewis setting the pace like he always does, and then Max just at arm's length behind Bottas. And today it wasn't quite to arm's length, it was a lot closer. Bottas going off into the gravel a couple of times, and Max eventually being able to pass him. I mean, once he got in front of Bottas, I mean, he was never going to catch Hamilton, unfortunately. But you gotta feel sorry for Max, because he really fought hard, and that was not the way that he deserved to have his afternoon end. But unfortunately, that is just motor racing, and certainly it made for an interesting finish to the race. race. I mean, I don't think anybody expected to see another incident behind the safety car. I mean, just as it looked like the track workers had gotten Max's car out of the way and got that all cleaned up, they were just a couple of quarters up the track there, sorting out all the debris and getting rid of George Russell's Williams, who unfortunately under throttle and getting some heat into the tire, just the car snapped away from him and he just went straight into the wall. I mean, there really are no words for that. I mean, just quite a humiliating moment for poor George, who, again, it looks like he is just completely snake bit, that he's just not going to be able to get any points this year, no matter what he does or how hard he drives. And it really is a shame. That was an embarrassing moment. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit further into the show. Anyways, it's time for a quick break here on the Overtime Media Network, so don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey guys, so between the NFL, college ball, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, Formula One, whatever it is you're into, there's never any shortage of games to watch, and with thousands of lines available on all your favorite sports and events, you can turn your game day into payday with MyBookie. So if you're the type of guy who likes to back the big favorites, consider putting a couple in a parlay for the much bigger payout. Not only do parlays make meaningless games exciting, but more importantly, they give you a chance to turn ordinary bets into a real moneymaker. And don't forget the underdogs, because they have a ton of value. The thing about the NFL is that underdogs are never really dogs on a Sunday, and every team truly has a chance to win, and so do you. So game spreads, championship futures, and player prop bets, it's never too late to get in on the action and start turning your sports knowledge into actual cash in your wallet. So sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use my special promo code OVERTIME to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. That's promo code OVERTIME for you to claim your bonus when you make your deposit. Stacked UFC cards, presidential prop bets, all the major sports and more. Sign up today to begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, and moving right along, I just I wanted to talk to about it before the break there, just about Sergio Perez. Here's a guy, I mean, he's not having much luck either. I mean, just like we were just talking about some other drivers that were maybe having a run of luck going against them recently as well. I mean, Perez started 11th at the Imola. He had a pretty good start, and he managed to six cars with a, you know, he put a really, really long stint on the medium tires. I mean, a lot of drivers came in a lot earlier because, I mean, the tires were degrading a lot faster than expected. And, you saw that graphic right at the beginning of the race. I think that if you started on softs, I think they were expecting them to go to about lap 22 and then switch to the mediums. If you started on the mediums, I think the expected tire life was to get you to about lap 26 and then go all the way to the end to lap 63. But in reality, I mean, guys were stopping about 10 laps sooner than that. But then you had guys like Kimi Raikkonen, Sebastian Vettel, and Sergio Perez, who went significantly longer. And don't get me started on Sebastian Vettel, who did such a good job. And then he goes in, and not only did they could get the tire on properly on the left rear, but also the right front. So again, I mean, poor old Sebastian. I mean, the sooner he can get out of Ferrari, the better, because it has just been an absolute nightmare of the season. Anyways, going back to Sergio Perez, I mean, he was sitting there right at the top, looking on par for a podium there. He was he was right up there, and then he said, you know, what with that late pit stop that they decided to bring him in, he missed out on the podium, and he actually said that it didn't make sense. And I have to completely agree with him. I mean, if Sebastian is feeling aggrieved and disappointed and frustrated and all those things about what's going on with what's soon to be his former team in Ferrari, maybe Sergio is starting to feel the same way at Racing Point. But anyways, the Mexican had to say, quote, "I don't know. I think looking at it, it didn't make any sense at the time. You know, the call was very late, but it's always easy to take the right decision after the race. Overtaking today was extremely difficult. I haven't spoken to the team yet. They must have had some reasons on it. Just a painful, painful day because we had a podium in the pocket. It's just hard to digest. I think they're just as disappointed as I am right now. We are a team and we lose and we all also win together. In hindsight, it was a wrong call today, end quote. Anyways, the guy that ended up on the podium because of that was Danny Ricciardo. Like I said, off the top of the show, Danny Rick, second podium in three races. I guess this time they're not going to go and get matching tats, him and Cyril Abiteboul, the team principal at Renault. But anyways, Ricciardo said he was smiling when he saw Sergio Perez had to pit and basically gave him the third place. Although he had to fight off Tanny Kvyat there. I mean, you know, maybe that race goes another five, six laps. Who knows? Maybe Kvyat had a shot at a podium, which he's managed to do before in his career. Danny Ricciardo had to say, quote, two and three races, it's pretty crazy. Obviously, we were pretty settled in fifth. That was our pace today. Claire hung with me, but I felt like I was quick enough to kind of manage that gap to him. But Perez was quicker. He was fourth best car today, but then obviously Max had the issue and Perez pitted under the safety car. I was quite surprised with that. Obviously, I was smiling about it because I was like, well, that's giving me third on the track. I knew hanging on with the hard on the restart was going to be tricky, but I was more than happy to fight for it at the end. And track position was obviously very important around here. I think both myself and the team were very willing to keep me out on the track. Obviously, I wanted to go out fighting at the end, and if he came back through and passed us, so be it. That was the position we were in. So I definitely felt it was worth the risk and it paid off, end quote. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think it was worth the risk that they took, and good for them. I mean, it really has been a very long time coming for Renault and not just Danny Ricciardo. So, I mean, it was good to see that that it did work out for them. But like I said, he didn't have it wasn't necessarily a foregone conclusion for the couple of things that he mentioned himself. But Danny Kvyat, who ended up coming home in fourth, just behind Ricciardo, said it was what he called brave racing to clinch fourth. Kvyat started eighth. He was in seventh when the race resumed at the safety car. But I mean, he certainly he had some fresher tires. Got past Perez, got past Albon, got past Charles Leclerc. I think he maybe caught Leclerc a little bit by surprise there. Anyways, Daniil said, quote, it was a good race. It was a good, strong result. And yeah, of course, I'm talking and thinking more about the podium because it was so close. Really, really difficult on the restart, but I managed to do some good moves. Daniel just warmed up his tires, and yeah, it was very hard. Very close until the end, but I had to do some brave racing today. I had some fun today, end quote. So good for him. I mean, it's good to see some of these guys that you don't usually see getting some good results like that. So nice to see. And I think, too, when things get mixed up a little bit, and it's just... I do feel bad for Max, but the fact of is that when these guys are used to seeing on the podium, like Hamilton, Bottas, and Max, if some misfortune should befall one of those guys, it does tend to mix things up. And you know, Ferrari's a complete non-factor, and I think that's why it's made that three-way battle between Renault, Racing Point, and McLaren so fascinating, you know, so far through the season. I mean, we've only got, what, four races left, and 1 point separates these three teams in the Constructors' Championships. That's, I think, the one bright spot. I mean, we can sit here and lament, for those people out there that are Ferrari fans, they're going to complain and lament how disappointing they've been this year. It's opened things up, behind Red Bull and behind Mercedes. Unfortunately, these three teams aren't quite fast enough yet to be a challenge to Red Bull, and certainly they're not a challenge to Mercedes, which is disappointing. But it has made an opportunity to see guys in and around that you don't usually see. And of course, Ferrari being Ferrari, aren't going to be satisfied with where they are. I mean, eventually they will claw their way back, but it is fascinating to see what's going to happen with that. And I think not only is it a story to watch the rest of this year, but I think also it's going to be a story to watch next year as well. So this one is a little bit, a bit of an ironic story, and we'll just talk about it now, and we'll pick up it again after the break. Anyways, Fernando Alonso named George Russell as one of Formula One stars of the future. And of course, Russell had that really embarrassing moment behind the safety car crashing. And that was just very unfortunate. Anyways, Fernando would say, quote, "I think they're very talented drivers now in Formula One. They all came with a nice preparation as well with driver academies that build the performance and the talent, just helping them from a very young age. Now they are doing their job. From all of them, George Russell is the one that surprises me every weekend. How he's driving the Williams, zero mistakes. I'm really surprised about his natural speed. So if I have to say one name, Russell for the future is going to be my pick," end quote. And I think that Russell, you know, even though he hasn't scored any points this year, I think he's done some spectacular things. He's done some very good things, managed to get that fairly uncompetitive and slow car into Q2 a whole bunch of times. It just hasn't been a one-off or a couple of really fluky performances. I mean, he's been a regular into Q2 this year, which considering how poor that car actually is no shortage of a really, really solid effort from a really talented young driver. And to see what happened to him crashing behind the safety car was just unfortunate. Anyways, time for another break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We're going to pick that up in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Yes, we're just talking about George Russell and his accident behind the safety car at Imola on Sunday. That really was unfortunate. Like I say, you have a two-time world champion and a very respected and a very good driver in Fernando Alonso praising Russell for being his pick as one of the stars of the future, the star of the future. And he has that unfortunate moment. It's one of those things. I mean, you heard the replay from race radio when Russell put it into the wall and just kind of came to a stop there on the side of the track, and he just says, I don't have anything to say, or I have no words, something like that. And I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, it was a mistake. It was embarrassing. It was the completely worst case scenario. And I mean, you could just tell from his body language when he got out, and then he got behind the safety the safety fencing and the concrete barriers, and he was just sort of sitting there on the grass, just away from the marshals. He was head in his hands, basically. You could just tell he was disgusted with himself. He was disappointed. He was upset and frustrated and all of those things. And you just couldn't really help but feel sorry for the guy. Anyways, George, he did speak about it afterwards, and he said he will never forget the mistake that he's made there. He made a post on Instagram later on Sunday afternoon where he actually, there is a picture of him sitting there looking rather sad. I mean, he still has his helmet on and everything, but the body language and just the position that he's sort of sitting there, I mean, it says it all. You can tell this is a guy that's really upset. Anyways, the caption that he put on his Instagram post was, "I'll never forget this day, this mistake. I'll learn from it and be stronger for it. I'm so sorry to the whole team. No excuses." end quote. And he goes on to say, it was a race I was pushing as hard as I could from lap one until then, the most aggressive I've ever been. And I wanted to continue under the safety car because I knew with the guys behind me on the hot new tires, myself and the old tires, if I had any chance of getting a point, I needed to be super aggressive. And obviously, as soon as I lost the car, I was already in the wall and it was just gutting. Obviously, really sorry to all the guys, end quote. So yeah, very disappointing for him. And you can't help but feel disappointed for him. Okay, I just want to move on. There's a couple of things here which I think are very important I want to talk about before we end the show tonight. So one thing is that Hamilton and Mercedes, they've deferred contract talks until the titles are both decided. So Constructors is already done, and drivers yet to be decided. Of course, Lewis is going to win it. It's just a question of time. I mean, he's a mile ahead of everyone. I mean, it's the only real contender is his teammate, Valtteri Bottas. And I mean, honestly, he hasn't been a contender, a threat to Lewis since, what, the Hungarian Grand Prix back in the summer? I mean, realistically. Anyways, Toto Wolff, team principal, had to say just regarding the contract talks, because Lewis's current contract expires at the end of the year. Apparently, you know, they're still eager and they're still keen on working together, but they haven't finalized the contract yet. Toto had to say, quote, the last time took 10 hours. Then we had it done and we finished the day with pizza. There's a lot of trust between us and we keep saying we have to find a day. The championship is more important, the driver's championship. And I completely understand Lewis and Valtteri want to concentrate on that and the constructors for us, end quote. So that kind of sets it up a little bit. Now, this is an interesting one because Lewis has come out and said that there's actually no guarantee that he'll be racing not just for Mercedes next year, but he may not be racing in Formula One at all. So this, I think, is potentially, obviously, huge, you know, huge news, right? I mean, Toto Wolff is also apparently considering his own future in with Mercedes before his contract expires, and says he might actually want to step in a completely different role starting next year because he feels that everyone in a team has what he calls a shelf life. Hamilton had to say after the race, quote, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year, so it's not really a concern for me at the moment. We have a lot of deep conversations, Toto and I, so I'm very aware of where he is mentally, and we share a lot of and carry a lot of the weight together, I think. I've been here for a long, long time. I can definitely understand wanting to pull back a little bit and giving more time to family and those sorts of things, end quote. So I think that is... it's really, really an interesting admission. That doesn't necessarily mean that that Lewis is going to decide to pack his bags and walk away, but it certainly is a bit of a shift. I mean, before it was like Toto said in that original quote that that they've last time they negotiated a new contract, it took 10 hours and they finished the day with pizza. Everybody's happy. They all go home. Yada yada yada. So there you go. So it sounds like it's really a simple kind of thing, right? To get a contract sorted out if you're a multiple world champion like Lewis Hamilton. I mean, obviously the partnership that they have, the two of them, has been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's been fantastic for both Lewis and the team. I mean, what they've achieved together is absolutely phenomenal. But like Toto says, I mean, everybody has a shelf life. Everybody at some point will decide that they have other priorities and other goals in life, and they'll move along. And I think that, you know, there is a right time and a wrong time to step away. I mean, you don't want to walk away too soon. I think that we know plenty of examples, not just in Formula One, but from all other sports, that one athlete that maybe went out right at the peak and of their career, maybe sooner than a lot of people expected, and they kind of built that mystique. Well, what if they stayed in the sport for another 5 years, or could they? How much more would they have won? And then on the flip side, we've all seen that one guy that's hung on for way too long, and has just really kind of Well, I guess you could say tarnished their legacy to a certain extent by staying on longer than they should have when they were past their best, or maybe not being in the same situation with a team or that they were when they were in their prime, when they were winning everything. So, like I say, I don't necessarily think that just by Lewis saying that he may not be in Formula One next year means that he's prepared to walk away. I think it just it's an interesting insight to think that or to hear from him that perhaps he is thinking about other possibilities, other things. And he's probably realizing too that where he is in his own life at 35, which is obviously not very old for an athlete in this day and age. But I mean, at some point, I mean, I know Lewis has said that all these records are there to be broken, and I absolutely 100% agree with that. I mean, he's going to tie Schumacher this year for the most world championships with seven. It just puts a question out there. It's just like, when will Lewis think, enough is enough? When will he be satisfied? And when will he think that enough is enough? And I've done everything in Formula One, and I need to move on to that next phase of my life and do whatever it is I need to do. And we all know that Lewis has plenty of interests outside of Formula One. Anyways, Toto Wolff says he actually has a successor in mind for team principal as he sits there and continues to think about what his own role with the team is. And, he has said before that being at the head of the ship or the helm of the ship, whatever you want to call it, it's actually come at quite a big personal cost. It's really taken a real toll on him. You can understand. I mean, it's not an easy job. I mean, it's one thing to sit there and see them all celebrating a race winner, a championship, but I mean, there's always so much work that goes behind that. And Toto being at the top, I mean, he's responsible for it all. Anyways, Toto had to say, quote, "My situation is a little bit different because I'm a co-owner with the Mercedes of the team, so I'm never going to abandon it because it's just what I love to do. What's better than to be part of a sports team, to be a part of such a fantastic gang of people? What I said is I believe that everybody has a shelf life and a role. I haven't come to the end of mine. I think I can still contribute, but I think I need to... But I think I need to think about the future also going forward. Bringing somebody up, developing him, doing this role is something that is a fantastic challenge for me that will be one of the next chapters. But you will have to see me around for a while." End quote. So there you go. He was also asked if he has actually picked out a potential replacement. And he says, "I have, but I can't tell you." End quote. So there you go. That's a little bit cryptic. But it is an interesting admission to hear the two biggest names in the Mercedes team, Hamilton and Wolff, the guys that have really helped take the team to where they are, one in the car and one outside of the car. They really are the two guys. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people that put it together, but they're the two most recognizable faces. I mean, Toto for running the team and Lewis for getting behind the wheel and getting the job done on the track. Okay, well, just one final story before we close it down tonight. This is an interesting one. This was a quote from Christian Horner, team principal at Red Bull, that actually is from a couple of days ago. Now, he may want to come and revisit this after what happened at Imola on Sunday. And the quote was, "Everyone wants to see him retain that seat," end quote. And he's referring to Alex Albon. He's basically backing him to keep that drive for 2021. He actually goes on to say that it is Alex's seat. He wants him to go out there, have a good weekend. And like I said at the very beginning, he's ninth in the Constructors' Championship. He's 1 point ahead of Pierre Gasly from AlphaTauri. Those are the two that switched places at Red Bull last year. And, of course, they're always going to draw comparisons. But Alex, again, I mean, is miles off the pace of his teammate of Max Verstappen. He's fighting down there in the lower point paying positions. And at the end of the race, he gets it all wrong on the restart of the safety car and loses it going into the corner and drops all the way down. So you have to think now that maybe the writing is on the wall. I don't know if the pressures is getting the pressure is getting to him. I mean, there's been some talk with some pretty eligible and desirable drivers to be out there right now. Nico Hülkenberg, for example, Sergio Perez, to name just a few that they've been linked with a possible drive at Red Bull for 2021. And Christian Horner's even come out and said that if they decide to move in a different direction from Albon for next year, year that they would look outside of the organization to bring someone in. So, I mean, maybe that's got something to do with it. I think that, unfortunately, that restart probably had to do something similar, like we saw George Russell, probably, you know, the tires weren't warm enough or whatever it was. I mean, that was just unfortunate. But the thing is, I mean, Red Bull is not a one-man band. I mean, Max is a guy that's you know, really carried the team for, you know, the last couple of years, ever since Ricciardo went to Renault. And it just really is unfortunate that Gasly last year and Alex Albon this year just haven't really been able to step up and just deliver more. Although it is interesting, if you kind of go back and compare what Gasly and Albon did combined last year, pretty much matched up with a couple of points what Verstappen and Ricciardo did the last year that they were paired together in 2018. So I think the stat is a little bit misleading, but if you look at these two guys, they almost mirror each other in their terms of fortune one year to the next. But I really have to wonder if that is going to be one of those things that works against Alex Albon keeping that seat for 2021. But I was just thinking, what with a lot of these guys under contract on all the big names, that if Lewis decided not to sign a new contract for Mercedes, wouldn't that really just throw everything into chaos in Formula One? I mean, Vettel is committed to Aston Martin. Max is committed to Red Bull for the next couple of years. I mean, they've got Bottas under another one-year contract for 2021. It would be interesting who they would put in that car for next year, but then certainly they wouldn't be looking so much maybe next year, but the year thereafter. So, you know, I still think Lewis is going to re-sign. I think it's just it will get done. I think, you know, he's being more reflective than anything, but it would really create some chaos in the driver's market. Anyways, time to wrap it up there. Thank you so very much for listening to the show. Thank you again for your emails and tweets. If you want to get in touch, best way to do so is on Twitter at @ScuderiaF1Pod and email scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com. That's it. That's a wrap. We'll be back in a couple of days with the regular weekly show. And until then, have a great week. Take care. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to ScuderiaF1Pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com.